Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is Podcast 1099. Today, we're going to be back in the book of Genesis. We're going to begin at verse 26, and what I'm going to do is take you down through several verses, and I will just kind of give you a running commentary as we go, because I want to introduce you to male and female. Yes, that's what God says, not half male, half female, not he-she, not she-male, not male-she, not any combination of, but distinctly male and female, different parts, different purpose, and we're going to look at that over the coming days. And so God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, this is very important for the crazy environmentalism that's going on today. Now, all of us, as God's children, need to understand that we are created in the image of God. Man and woman are created in the image of God. And we have a purpose of ruling over the earth and to maintaining the earth, being a good steward of the earth. And that means we need to take care of the environment. Now, that has nothing to do with the wacko environmentalism that's going on today, where we harm man in order to do good to trees and to nature. That should never be. The most important of all of God's creation is mankind, and he is to rule over and make good decisions over God's domain where he has placed him in authority. So the Bible says God created man, this is verse 27, in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. Those are two words, very distinct, with differing ideas behind them. When you actually look at the words, the word male many times has with it the idea of a certain body part. And you say, where did you get that? Well, when you look at Genesis chapter 17, where circumcision took place, it's not said of the female, but of the male. And it had to do with the cutting of a particular part of a male. And you can read that in Genesis chapter 17. Also, the word female is the word which has the root to pierce. Now, I'm going to let you deal with the word studies yourself because I don't want to get too personal here. But the idea of a piercing is the idea of a hole or of a slit. And you can look at the body of a male and a female, and you can tell the difference. God meant for there to be a difference. There was a purpose for the difference. We will see that in chapter 2, where God gets into detail about the male and the female. And so God made man and woman in his own image. That is, not one was inferior, the other superior, but each one was made in the image and essence of God. In other words, we are equal in essence. However, we differ in role, assignment, and responsibility. Now, this has all kinds of names of categories that people place what I just said, people who believe just what the Bible says, into various categories and schools. Why can't we just take the Bible as it says, that male and female are equal in essence, that is, not one inferior or one superior to the other. The ground is level at the cross. Everyone comes to God the same way. Don't believe what you hear on TV and radio from Hollywood, because we're not to get our theology from Hollywood, but from the Word of God. We're not to get our theology from TV programs and radio programs that are worldly in their orientation. We are to get our theology and our philosophy from the Word of God. And God says that he made male and female the same, that is, equal in essence. However, the same Bible that tells us that the ground is level before God also says that we have differing role assignments within the home and within the church. And we're going to look at those over the coming days. But the Bible says very plainly that he created two, male and female, very different. Verse 8 of chapter 2 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward." Now, it's interesting, the word east is our translation. It's an English translation. And it is the word kedem, which is the word for forward or front. There is no word for east in the Hebrew language. It is the word front or forward, because all directions in the Bible are taken from the center of the earth, which is Jerusalem. Now, the hill that is just in front of Mount Moriah, which is the place that God said is the most important on earth because of what took place there and what will take place there, that's where he said he would dwell with his people. It's called the Holy Mountain, and it is a place that has a long lineage in the scriptures. The Jewish people believe that is where God created Adam and then placed him in a garden eastward, that is, kedem, to the front. And so the word for forward or front is the word kedem, and it is translated east. Now, in Latin, it's orient. Remember, the poles were not discovered in the Bible as such. You didn't have a north pole and a south pole, but all the directions were from that place, that sacred place, Jerusalem. And if you are facing to the front, that is, you're facing eastward, then you are facing the rising of the sun. That's how they got their bearings. We still refer to any time we get our bearings or get our location and where we are and have balance as orientation. When you go to a new school, when you go to a new job, you get your true east. You get your bearings. You get your orientation. We even have a song about that, a Christmas song. We three men from Orient are. Now, the orientation is correct. The three men was due to the three gifts. As a matter of fact, I believe it was a large entourage, and we'll deal with that in another day. But eastward is the word kedem, which is forward. So God planted a garden in front of where he was, which I believe was the place that was sacred from the very beginning and the creation, and that is Mount Moriah. And it was there that God went forward and planted a garden and placed man in that. And the scripture says that God gave him an assignment. God took the man, verse 15, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Now, it's interesting that man had work to do before Eve ever came along. Before the fall, God gave him an assignment, a stewardship. He was to work. He was to serve. The word is the word serve, abad, and it is also translated sometimes cultivate, tend, serve, work. And so God said to man, I want you to keep this and tend it. I want you to serve it. I'm giving you this as a stewardship. The word keep is the word shamar. It's the same word that God uses when he says, I want you to keep the Sabbath. I want you to watch the Sabbath. I want you to watch over it. I want you to preserve it. I want you to protect it. I want you to tend it. Same concept here. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, of the gan of the garden, you can eat all. You can eat hakol. You can eat everything. You can eat anything. But, he said, I do have a prohibition of the tree of da'at, of knowledge, and of tov, of good, and ra, of bad, of evil. You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The word surely is actually the same word for death. In dying, you shall die. The word surely just means it is going to be for certain. In dying, you're going to die. And that is the word there. It's used twice. It's the word for death. So he said, this is certain. You're going to be separated from me. You're going to be isolated from me. You're going to die. And the Lord God said, it's not good. This is verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, the word there, bod, is the word to separate. He shouldn't be separated, alone. We would call that isolated. Man doesn't need to be isolated. I will make a helper comparable to him, the New King James says. The King James says, a helpmeet. The word is the word counterpart. Ezer konegdo. Ezer is the word for help. You know that word. You remember when Samuel had the great victory, he said, here I raise mine Evan, which is the word for stone. Ezer, help. And he said, Ebenezer, that we would call Ebenezer, is the stone of help. This is the word here, helper. He said, I will make him a Ezer konegdo. Now, the word konegdo is the word, it's hard to translate because it means like opposite. That is, I will make him a helper, one that's going to be like him, but different. And so I believe the best English word to translate that is counterpart. It would be like a male plug and a female plug, an outlet and a plug that goes in it. As a matter of fact, we call something with a prong sticking out of it or prongs sticking out of it, the male plug. And the receptor, that which has the slits or the holes, is the female. Now you say, well, that's very crude of you to say that. Well, that's the same language of male and female. I'm telling you, folks, you can't get away from it. It's more than just the equipment. It's more than just the prongs and the slit. It is the DNA that is inside of a man and a woman. God made male and female to be different. And he made us on purpose. As a matter of fact, he prohibits male and male being together and female being together romantically, sexually. That is called perversion in the Bible, twisting in the Bible. It's taking what God means for one thing and twisting it and using it for your own purposes. God doesn't allow that. He condemns that and judges that. People don't like that nowadays because we want to do our own thing. That's just independence, and that independence in that regard is sin. It is a perversion. Now, people don't like that word, but it doesn't matter. That's what the Bible calls it. It's a twisting. And so the scripture says that out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and he brought it to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, the word there is the word to call out. How he would summons them. Adam named them all. He called them all something, and whatever he called them, that's their names. In other words, that's what he called them to himself. He summons them, and that is everything. The birds, the cattle, the creeping things. Adam gave names to all of them. However, it says, but for Adam, there was not a Ezer konegdo for him. There was not a counterpart. There was not one like him. So everything had a mate, but Adam was isolated. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Now, this is the same word, by the way, which is used for, if you want to know how deep it was like a trance. This is what happened to Daniel in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 18, if you want to put a reference there. The Lord God caused a trance, a deep sleep. It's the first anesthesia ever administered to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his tzila. The word tzila can be translated rib, as in the rib of the ark, the rib of a boat, the rib of the side of the house, planks and boards, the ribs of a house. But it is best translated, I believe, chamber, because it is like the side chambers of the temple. It's used like that in the book of Ezekiel, the side of the ark where the rings were to be installed. And it's the idea not of a little bitty rib, but the whole side of a man was taken. And then the rib, the side of man that God took, he made her into a woman. And he brought her to Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha because she was taken from man. Now, Isha is the feminine version of man. And so you have Ish and Isha, and then you have the words for male and female, two separate and distinct beings with two separate and distinct purposes. Therefore, he says, a man shall leave his father and mother. And that means the word leave there can be the idea of leave as in loosing. And so there is this loosing, the cutting of the cord, so to speak, between a father and mother and the children to be joined together. Now, this is the idea of not just joining, but it's the idea of clinging. It's the idea of following, of staying close with someone. They were both naked. Now, for those of you who are from the South, it's not naked. It's naked. They were barren. They didn't have any clothes on, and they were not ashamed. So they lived. They cohabited together. Each one had a plan and a purpose. Isn't it wonderful that God has given a role to the man and a role to the woman? And let me tell you, we will never be more fulfilled than when we are doing what God put us on the earth to do. Now, you might think that doing it your own way will fulfill you. That is deception. That's the enemy of your soul and mind trying to lead you away from the Father's plan for your life. Men, God expects us to be men. We're not to want to be like women. We're not to desire their role. Women, you're not to be like a man and desire his role. You don't need to look like a man, talk like a man. Men, you don't need to look like a woman, try to be like a woman. God didn't call you to be a sissy. God called you to be a brother, a man, a father. God didn't call you, women, to try to act like a man, be like a man. You're not a man. Quit acting like it. All you're doing is idolizing him and saying, you know, I'm going to be a man. I'm not satisfied being a woman. Well, you don't get to choose that. The sovereign God of the universe created you a certain way for a certain purpose, and you need to do that. Well, we'll pick up again tomorrow. Now, folks, I told you, I don't know how long this is going to be, but we're going to get through these things because in our sinful and perverted and twisted generation, we have to hear words of clarity and sanity because we've lost our mind. We are insane. And we need to get back to the moral absolutes of the Bible, the truth, the absolute truth of God. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org, then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions@tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day on the way.